Why there's so many people in here? That last announcement, Jamie was like, the teens. And Alex, who was the cutest little announcement lady, just kidding. It's a joke every week, so if you're new here, you'll get it one week. I was like, the teens will stay in here. I'm like, dear Lord, there's so many people in here. It's scary. I'd rather be where you are, to be honest. I'll pretend and fake like I'm confident, but I'm like shaking. I'm nervous. I've been nervous for a while, but it's good to be here. My name is Casey, if I haven't met you. If you don't know my name, you do now. My wife was ripping it on the guitar, Allison. And we have two kids who are in the, just shredding it. Props to the worship team. Good to see you up there. Welcome. You're like real close. I know, I'm like backing up. I'm like between the stand and this front step, it's like awkward. My day, I'm in data analytics. I don't have a background in, preaching or religion. I didn't grow up in the church at all. Got saved in college. That's a story not here to tell. We live in Nashua, and that's a little bit about me. There's other stuff to know, but who cares? You're not here to learn about that or hear about that, but it's good to be here. And shout out to those of you on YouTube. Is this camera two? Camera one? Camera two? How you guys doing? Throw up in the comments anything you want to talk about. Just kidding. What are we up to, like six streamers? Six live streamers? 10? 20? 10? We're up to 10. Oh, we're ripping it. Yeah, we got watch parties all over the country. I checked out the message last week. I was, I get asked to preach, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want to say? Like, what should we do? Like, what should we do? Like, I could pick something, but like, it's, gonna flop. Like, you want it to be meaningful. You want God to be in it, right? So I'm like, Lord, what do you want to talk about? And he kind of gave me something, and I was like, I don't want to talk about that. And I'm like, I got this whole thing. We got a passage. I guess we'll talk about it. Apparently, it's somewhat important. And then last week, Nate was here. Nate the Great preached a message. It's kind of a tough word a little bit in there. It's like, what is your suffering? I was like, oh. That's a little bit what we're going to talk about today. And I was like, maybe God really is in this. And before we really begin, let's just pray. I want you guys to ask God to open your ears and pray for me, because hopefully I say something good. Father, we just come before you in the name of your precious son, Jesus. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this opportunity to be together. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for being among us, being with us, unifying us as a body here and across the country and across the world with the rest of your church. Father, I turn this time over to you. Lord, anoint the words that are going to be spoken. Let it be you who speaks. Father, open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of us here today, including myself. Speak to us, Lord. Prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us in order to learn more about you, but also, Lord, instruct us. Give us something to take with us as we go out of this place into our ministries and our works here on out. In Jesus' name. All right. We're doing good on time. I was like, I'll go quick here, but like, you never know how quick is really going to be. So if you have a Bible or a phone, I'm always on my phone. I'm like looking at the passages Daryl talks about or like scrolling through or whatever. Not on Instagram. Sometimes on Instagram. Just kidding. Sorry, Daryl. Scrolling through, I always feel guilty because I don't typically bring my physical book. But if you have, we're going to assume if you take out your smartphone, you open the Bible app. And if not, then that's not my fault. But we're going to work out of 2 Timothy this morning. Chapter 1, we'll dip our toe into chapter 2, maybe. Probably. But this is 2 Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. This is the second one, you can tell, because it's to Timothy. To Timothy. We're learning here this morning. We're going to have a good time. But why don't we read chapter 1, and we'll camp there for a little bit, and we'll see what's happening in this place. And I read out of the New American Standard. Yeah. There's a lot of good versions. Cool, cool. Props to the NASB. As what? NLT's good. The NIV, the ESV. Anyway, so if it doesn't line up, that's what I'm going to... It doesn't line up in your Bible, that's why. But that's what we're reading here. And apologies, like, I am not a graphic designer. So these, if you're into it and you're like, this is the ugliest slide, I already know. I already know that. So that's not what I get paid to do. Or and I have a skill set at all in. So anyway, here we go. Chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. 2. Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience by the way... I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me. Among them are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. I can't tell you how many times I tried to pronounce that name. Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you will know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Chapter 1. All right, so this letter, that's a lot. We're not going to go through it line by line. There's a couple things I want to pull out. But so this letter, you know, this is the last chronological letter that Paul wrote. He wrote a bunch of them, I think 11. There's another one afterward in the Bible. So you flip, you find Titus. You're like, it's not the last one. No, this is the last one in his life. He's that we found that was written by Paul. He is in prison awaiting death. He's in prison in Rome because he's out there doing everything. He's been arrested a couple times. He's in jail writing letters to people. And this is the last one, and he is awaiting to find out his death. And he has traveled around all over the place. Timothy has been with him. He sent Timothy to different churches. Timothy's been with him on many, many ministry trips. And so they have a very, very, very close relationship. And you can see this right in the beginning. The first thing I want to talk about is that we see the heart of discipleship right here in chapter 1. And this is the Great Commission, right? Go ye into the world and making disciples of all nations. Talked about this a little bit last week. That's what we're called to do. The will of the Lord is for us to go into the world and make disciples. It's not just to sit around and be saved and be happy. We're called to go and push this news forth, to push the kingdom forth, to grow the church of God. And it's not just one guy. It's not even it's not a dude with a microphone on Sunday, no matter who it is. It's not your favorite preacher on YouTube. It's not some guy who you used to know. We're all called to go ye into the world. And it might be the best example. It might be. And so it gives us something to strive towards. And by the way, everything I'm going to say, I feel like I'm a complete failure at. I'm going to say a whole bunch of things, And, you know, my wife can be like, well, yeah, later. You know, you're not really. I know. I already know. Like, I wrote it down. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to say this because I'm a hypocrite. But it gives us something to strive towards, okay? And this is not to be condemning or anything like that. Like, it might be to be convicted to move towards a higher standard of living, to live a life more like Jesus did, to live a life more like we're called to. Hopefully that's the end goal. But if you ever hear something I say and I'm like, wow, I'm not good at that. Like, I'm not either, okay? Like, we're all on the same page, but like, maybe we can move together individually and as a church family towards greater things, okay? And so this great commission, this call of discipleship, this heart of discipleship is just a love for a man for his son, like a love for a man for somebody who he wants to take hold of this ministry and carry it forth because it's important. His life work, carry it forward because it is important. And it's not a thing, it's not like a teacher, parent-teacher relationship, a teacher-student relationship, or just like a parent-child relationship, or like a boss, you know, employee, or like a commander, you know, army guy or girl, like commander and chief, soldier, that's the word I'm looking for. Private first class, I don't know. I don't know the rankings, and I'm sorry. Please don't be offended. But it's not like those. This is where there's just an amazing heart of Paul for this boy, Timothy, and just wanting him to grab a hold of this because it's important. And so Paul, I want to talk about Paul for a little bit. He is this father figure to Timothy, right? He says, you know, Timothy, my beloved son, just like you're my son, which is really interesting. You know, we'll look at Timothy in just a second, who, you know, don't know where his father was, but Paul just steps in and says, like, there's something special about this boy. Like, he heard a word, and like, maybe he was preaching somewhere, he just heard this word, or Timothy came up to him, and he's like, there's something, he'd identify, there's something special about this boy. And he develops this relationship where he can say hard things to him because Timothy knows that Paul loves him, and Paul wants the absolute best for him. And so Paul, this discipler and this father figure, is guiding through this letter and through other letters and his life, guiding Timothy, encouraging Timothy, but also instructing Timothy. Like, we don't know what we don't know. There's people who have more experience than us, and it's important to lean on them. And it's important, if you have more experience, to say, like, I got to share this with people. Because there's a lot of confused people out there. There's a lot of confused Christians out there who are like, They got it, but they, like, don't have the instruction on, like, what to do next on Monday. We say, go tell people about Jesus. And they're like, okay, that's a part of it, but there are other pieces to the puzzle. And if there's experience that we have, we kind of have an obligation to share that and to be somebody who can express that. Now, that comes, the flip side of that is like, oh, I don't know if I can. I'm not good enough. It's like, we all ain't good enough. I don't know. Like, Paul is this guy. He's like, he was a Jew, a Pharisee of Pharisees, he calls himself, the untimely born, didn't see Jesus alive. But he was somebody who persecuted Christians. In fact, early Christians didn't like him. They avoided him. He, like, walks up into Jerusalem. He's like, hey, everybody, good to see you. We gonna tell the world about Jesus. He had a little Southern accent. But they avoided him. They didn't want to be around him. They didn't want to, they left. They just said, we don't even believe that you are one of us. Let's see if I can find this real quick, just in case you're wondering. So Saul, his name was Saul back then, by the way. Better call Saul. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Right? So this guy is now sharing what he's learned about living like Christ with somebody else. Can we do that? We probably don't have the background that he does. We might not feel like we're old enough. I didn't grow up in church. Maybe I'm at a disadvantage. It doesn't matter, those things. If we have something, we have Christ, if we have experience, we can share that. And he absolutely loves Timothy. This isn't something where, like, we're just going out and blasting people. You got to do this better. You got to do that better. This disciple relationship has been developed over countless trials, countless experiences, countless you know, doing life together, and Paul is like instructing him. Yeah, it's never like a, you're not good enough, Timothy. You're never going to make it. You should just blah, blah, blah. He just cares so much about this that no matter what Timothy does, he's like, I need to help you. I need to encourage you. I need to share what I have with you. This is Paul. What's so funny about Paul, too, I think he is the freest person. The freest person. Like, didn't you say he was in jail? Yes, he is in jail. But he was the freest person. It's quite ironic because he's in jail doing the thing that got him in jail. It's like you commit a crime, you go to the jail, and you're like, I'm just going to keep committing that crime. That's what he's doing. He preached the word. He's sharing Jesus. They're like, you can't do that. Go to jail. And he's like, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm sharing Jesus. He's imprisoned, right? But he's completely free, right? We talk about freedom a lot. He's totally guilt-free, right? Like, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience. Nothing is holding him back. There's nothing in his past that he cares about. There's nothing about him on a day-to-day basis that holds him back from doing what he's called and what he's supposed to do. He's just completely free. And he frees, like, this is the point of freedom, right? He freely serves God and walks in his purpose. We talk about freedom, and I think, you know, we live in the greatest country that has ever existed. You know, I'm a patriot. I don't say the Pledge of Allegiance every day, but I know the Pledge of Allegiance. And I get a tear in my eye when they play the national anthem before sporting events. Like, I love this country. I believe being free it's a fundamental human right. I totally believe that. I appreciate the sacrifices that men and women have made over the course of history to protect our freedoms. But in America, freedom is do whatever you want, okay? Like, well, what's wrong with that? It's like, well, when we talk about freedom here, it's like the things that hold us back from serving God fully and completely. So like if you get free of anxiety, or you get free of addiction, or you get free of these things and they don't hold you back, you're not supposed to be anxiety-free and just chilling, okay? Like, you're anxiety-free because it is no longer a chain on you. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and now I can move the gospel forward. We're called to move it forward. We're called to move the kingdom forward. And there are things that hold us back and prevent us. Those things where you're like, oh, and that little twitch you get, you're like, I don't know if I can. Well, I'm not qualified. We might not be qualified. Oh, like, I just, like, have this physical ailment. And you can be set free not to just go on vacation for the rest of your life. You can go and you can be set free to be somebody who can go into the world and make disciples. You see that? Like, Paul, like, he's in jail. He persecuted Christians before. Other issues, I don't know, there's nothing holding him back. He is a discipler completely free, right? Because, well, we'll just not read that, doesn't matter. So how are we in terms of discipling? How are you in terms of discipling? You know, this could be children. I believe that your ministry that we have for our children is vitally important. Discipling children is a responsibility we cannot ignore. It's a responsibility we cannot pass on to teachers, whether they're private teachers or public school teachers. I don't care. It's not their responsibility to disciple and teach and train our children what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. That's a part of it. That's a heavy responsibility, and we can't ignore that. That is important. How are we doing in that area? How are we doing in areas where we find other younger, more immature? I don't even think age is a parameter, but are we developing relationships intentionally with other Christians to help teach and train and instruct them? I want to ask God, like, bring those people into our lives. Because, you know, we don't have to go stand in the Oval or on a street corner and be like, hey, yo, what's up? Like, I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to pick you. It's like, okay. Like, I don't know. What's your name? Dan? I pick you, bro. Dan. He's going to be my disciple. here's what you need to do. I don't know if it, sure.
So in the verse 5, it says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you." So he's reminding him of the sincere faith that's within him. And he says, "Which dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that is in you as well." And that reminds me that that makes me think of an encouragement. So when I see people that I know that may be saved or may know the Lord, I want to encourage them. And I feel like that was such an encouragement. And I just wanted to say that. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, because I want to talk about that too. By the way, just to cap this point off, service is important. Like last week, Nate talked about like, what is your suffering? And he's like, I don't want to deal with kids. And that'd be terrible for me, but that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to do this and suffer, blah, blah, blah. Like, that, fantastic. I'm not here to like correct anything, because everything he said was gold. But in addition to service, in addition to, you know, I play the drums, in addition to, you know, welcome team, there's a call to disciple and not just serve. Does that make sense? I don't want to diminish that, because all of that, every way that we serve is here, out in the world, vitally important. But this is a different category. And so, okay. So just like you were saying, this encouragement to encourage, you know, people who have giftings or whatever, that's exactly what Paul is saying to Timothy. Now, Timothy is gifted in some way. We don't really know what it is, but Paul at some point laid his hands on Timothy and bestowed the Holy Spirit, and these gifts, whether it's, you know, prophecy or service or teaching or whatever, like he has this gifting. What's so interesting, you know, about Timothy is how, like, fearful he is. We don't necessarily see it here, and there's no examples where Paul's like, I asked Timothy to do this, and he didn't because he was a chicken. Get a load of this dude. That's the Message version. if it were in there, but it's not. But he's fearful, right? Like, Paul says, I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears. There's a lot of reasons why people could have tears, but one of them is just because there's a calling on your life that is large. Even if it's not large, it's uncomfortable. Even if you don't understand, it may feel large to you. It might not have a global impact, right? Like, but it has an impact, number one, and it might be uncomfortable, and it might be a little bit, not a burden, but it might feel like a burden. It's just heavy. And like these things weigh on you. You're like, Lord, like, help me raise my children. And like, why is it not going? Like, we had one of those mornings. I showed up 5 minutes late because I wanted to knock my children's head together several times. I'm human. But it's like, why isn't this teaching working? Like, why can't they get it? Help me do this. I need, like, help me. Or this, when Paul asked Timothy, like, here's what you got to do. It's like, but these tears, like, I'm a little bit afraid. I don't know if I can do it. I think this is who Timothy is. Because Paul encourages Timothy, for this reason, I remind you, kindle afresh this gift. Get around people, like, study the word, kindle it afresh. Remember the times when it was activated and you were effective in this gifting. Because listen, Timothy, I remember your tears, but God did not give us a spirit of timidity. He did not give us a spirit of fear. Listen, it's a natural human reaction, emotion, all that jazz, to be afraid. That is not of God. That is a habit that we've developed and carried into a Christian walk. It's not something to be regarded as us, as something we need to carry. You might be operating in your giftings and in your calling afraid and fearful, but it will diminish. Like, it doesn't even matter. It shouldn't be a parameter on whether or not you decide to continue to move the kingdom forward. Because God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of fear, of cowardice. None of that. He gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. Now put that on your refrigerators. It's like we quote this. We're like, oh, Lord, I'm going to go, and I'm a little bit afraid of this. Oh, I heard a bump in the night, but God did not give us a spirit of fear. But this is what he's talking about. It's like this calling, we don't need to be afraid. We can operate in the fullness of that because God's spirit, it doesn't bring fear. It brings power to accomplish the will of the Lord. It brings love to carry it so that people understand that we're human and that we're connected to a God who loves people, and of discipline so that we don't get sidetracked, of sound mind so we're not always confused about, do I need to do it this way? Do I need to do it that way? What about this other thing? I heard a guy say this, it didn't work that time. Like all these things sidetrack us, but that is not discipline. Discipline is continuing on regardless. And it might sound a little bit cold, but like, listen to this. You, Paul, verse 15, you are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me. Like everybody in Asia that Paul preached to turned away from him. Easily distracted. It doesn't work. I guess we should just change the gospel. I guess we should make it more, friendly so people don't leave. I guess maybe I'm not supposed to do this. I guess I'll just go on vacation and still instead of pursuing this worthy calling and be in jail. It's like, no, the spirit of discipline allows us to continue forth regardless of the day-to-day results or what other people choose to do. This is the spirit that God has given us. Now, Timothy being fatherless, you know, Paul says here, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, five, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Like, where's your grandfather and where your dad at? I don't know. Now, fatherlessness is an epidemic. It's a plague. And it's not something that should be taken lightly. And people who are fatherless, like, you know, my heart goes out to you. That's not my story. But I understand that there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of, like, there's just bitterness. There's a lot of things that you can hold on because there's not another man who bestows manhood to his son. There's not a man who can teach and train a son and disciple him properly in the family. But regardless of that, Timothy's like, he's a disciple of Paul. He's a man who says, you know what? Look, this guy, I need to hitch my wagon to this guy because where he's going, I need to go. And regardless of his family circumstances, his father, there's like other texts that suggest they know who Timothy's father is. Maybe they do. This guy was like a Greek. It doesn't really matter, but he's not in the picture. He's probably not going to church every single Sunday. But regardless, a man can step in and say, like, there's a gifting here, and I can help you. Are you willing? And Timothy responds and says, yes. It is more important for me to be attached to this man who is not his earthly father and learn from him than it is to just continue on and make excuses. How are we in being discipled? How, like, scale of 1 to 10, but how, like, how are we in that sort of a relationship where somebody knows us through and through and can say, like, hey, like, I, like, let's pray, like, let's get this gifting. It's not about you got to do more. It's not somebody who can just say, like, you got to do more. Like, you're not looking for somebody to just be like, here's, what do I do tomorrow? I don't even know. Like, there's somebody who can give you advice, and maybe falls into the category of mentorship. It's a hot word today, but this is a very specific type of mentorship where you pursue somebody who can teach you and train you on how to be a disciple. Because Paul is discipling Timothy, and Timothy is being discipled to learn how to disciple. There are several encouragements and instructions that Paul gives Timothy in this letter on, like, share these things with people. Give these concepts to people so that they can share them. You need to keep going, and you need to keep the faith. You need to keep the faith alive. You need to keep sharing these instructions and these commands that Jesus said and how to be, like, how to live like Christ and what all this means. Like, don't lose track of that. You need to share this with people. You need to, what was the word he says? Remind them, charge them in chapter 2. Charge them in the presence of God. Like, you got to be discipled so you can learn how to disciple. This is an ongoing process. This is an ongoing process. Okay? This is a lot. But how are we in discipling, like Paul? How are we in being discipled, like Timothy? It's not easy. It's not fun. Like, can we just say that? It's not always fun. Right? But it's something that God has designed for a purpose. Now, what Paul gives to Timothy in this letter, maybe summarizes other, like, he has been teaching and training Timothy all these things, and we say that because he's saying, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me. Well, that's all I want to say. Which you have heard from me. So there's other places where Paul has been continuing to teach Timothy, and he's saying here, like, don't forget this stuff, and here's how we're going to move going forward. These commands, these imperatives, these instructions, like, let's look at a few of these and see, like, what we can learn here, okay? So, this is, like I said, it's not fun because some of these are like stern teachings. Like, my personality, if somebody was like, dude, do this and do it this way, I'd be like, I need to go think about it because that was a little bit mean. Like, my first reaction is like, oh my God. Like, can you say it a little nicer, please? Like, that's honestly my first reaction. And I appreciate getting to the point and stuff like that, but sometimes there's a nice way to say things. Sometimes you don't need a nice way. Like, I don't know. So this, like, when Paul, we don't have to take all of these things and be like, do this, do that, be strong, what's wrong with you? All of these things are done in love from Paul to Timothy. In love, caring for a disciple of Christ. And so, like, how they communicate, maybe is a good model for us, but also, like, we don't need to talk exactly like this, but what he commands is important, right? Everything should be done in love. And in general, this pattern that I'm seeing in here is not to, help Timothy live his best life now. He out here just living his best life. It's like Instagram of my dog, living his best life. Cool saying. Tough to put that template over a dude who's in prison about to die. But you could argue that Paul is living his best life. And so he's sharing with Timothy, like, this is not how to have the most successful life. I am not against success. I'm not against monetary success. I'm not against, any type of success that you would define it. But it's not a dimension in which discipleship is most important. The most important part of this discipleship is to preserve and protect the gospel, to preserve and protect the integrity of the word, of the instructions of God given to man, of the way that the kingdom exists and operates and will continue to exist and operate for future generations. If we're not doing that, if we're changing things, if we have a half gospel, it's not what he's saying. It's not what he's saying. And by the way, I think in this example, this suffering that Paul is calling Timothy to, this is where it stems from. We shouldn't be pursuing suffering for suffering. Be like, I'm going to go and chop my arm off for Jesus. It's like, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go put ourselves in terrible situations just to say, like, we're suffering, right? Like, that's not the point. Like, self-harm, that's not the suffering that is of the Lord. the suffering that is of the Lord and that is worthy is continuing to uphold the standard of the gospel and carrying forth the life of Jesus in us and continuing to build the kingdom. Because the world doesn't like that, there are consequences. Suffering here is a consequence of upholding the standard and the integrity of the word. Does that make sense? It's not something we should be like, oh, my coworkers hate me, so I must be holy. It's like, maybe, but you just might be mean. Like, I don't know. They might just not like you. But if you're operating in a way that is worthy of the call, that is through and through scriptural, and you're saying, I'm just going to love everybody regardless, and they like throw tomatoes at you, like, we're on to something here. Does that make sense? And this is the hill we die on. This is the hill we live and die on. Because there's no watering it down, altering things to make people happy. It's a very dangerous thing. And it's not something we find in the word. Listen, chapter 1, verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words. Retain the standard. Keep it high. It is important. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you the treasure that hasn't been entrusted to you. The kingdom is a treasure. Jesus told this parable. He's like, this guy was walking along on a farm, and he found a treasure buried. And so he didn't tell, he found, dug it up, buried it, went home, didn't tell anybody, sold everything, and then he bought the farm. That's not the right saying. But like, he bought the land that treasure was on. Catch this point. He gave up everything to make a purchase of a treasure that was so important to him that he was willing to give it all. He didn't dig it up and give it away. He didn't like do anything else with the treasure. He didn't do, like, it was important to him to keep it as it was buried in the ground. But he says, I'm gonna get that. Keep that treasure in you. You gotta guard that. Don't get confused. We don't need to Google other things. We don't need to question why some people's response to the gospel is so like amazing and some is so hard. We don't need to find another method. We need to guard the treasure that is within us and continue to cultivate that and continue to share that. Be strong in the grace. This isn't like lifting weights. This isn't like being, you know, ultra powerful or I don't know. It's being strong in relying on the fact that the power of God lives within us and his grace allows us to move forward. That every breath we take is from him. We're being strong in his grace, which allows us to be a part of this. Chapter 2, verse 15, there's a lot more instruction. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. It's important to be mindful of these things. This isn't supposed to be heavy in terms of like making you feel bad about all the things that you do. Listen, I felt bad for like 3 weeks reading this. I was like, I'm a terrible person. I'm a terrible Christian. That's the life. But there like are no good Christians. We're saved, not like amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I hated Christians. I hated God. And you did too at one point. But now we need to be diligent and understand who Christ is and understand what he asks of us and move towards that. Not as a to-do list, but as something that just comes out of us. And like, we're like, oh, we could do this. You know what though? Like, I need to be diligent because it's important to operate and continue forth in my calling so that I can be approved by God and by men, so that there's no question. But avoid worldly and empty chatter. Avoid these things that we talk about that are just completely meaningless. These debates that are just completely meaningless. We don't need to engage in that. Flee from youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, verse 22, chapter 2. flee from these things, pursue righteousness. Verse 23, refuse foolish and ignorant speculations. These people who are just out there just saying stuff is like, oh, well, I read this thing that they really couldn't find the tomb of Jesus. It's like, okay, dude, but like, I don't know what else you want me to believe. Like, great, but like, this is the hill I'm going to live and die on. This is what this says is right. I don't need, like, didn't you know there's a Gospel of James? Didn't you know there's a third Timothy? What about all these other books in the Catholic Bible? I don't know. Whatever speculation comes of all those things, it's not for me. I'm going to refuse those. Great, cool. Anyway, so what can we agree on? That Jesus is the Lord? Okay, cool. But be kind to all. This is the heart. We have all these things. Paul's just, you know, ripping it to Timothy. But be kind to all. Be kind to everybody, regardless. This is so important. Able to teach, because the people who are kind have a platform and a voice to share with other people. In your relationships, being kind to others opens that door. So keep the standard high and be single-minded in pursuing this work of yours. Suffering may follow. Suffering may follow. There's no guarantee. You know, we might not be called to endure the cross, to be crucified. We're fortunate to live in this time where we can say these things and there's freedom. By the way, freedom of speech, freedom to worship our God, freedom to proclaim these things in this land. It's not all over the world. There are still places that are, it is, you know, you will be severely penalized. But here, we're not going to be put in jail for doing those things. Not yet. That's right. There's two of them right there. Boom. Two people just said the same thing at the same time. So, oh, dear Lord. But, yeah, you know, there may be a time, but suffering may come. But the upholding this high standard of the gospel, of the kingdom, of who Jesus is and what he has called us to in full leads to your best life now, but also your best life in eternity. Amen. And your best life now might not be Instagram worthy. But I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. You could be on Instagram. Like, if you're on Instagram and you got a great life, fantastic. Like, I'm not against that. I'm not against that success. I'm not against all that stuff. But while you're doing that, make sure that you are upholding and being diligent and pursuing the one who has called you and given you all things. This is hard. Our life in Christ is Instagram worthy, but the world doesn't accept it. They won't like it. You're not going to get as many likes as... right. Our life here is a wooden nickel compared to the priceless ruby and the life to come.
Yes. Here. Right along what you're talking about.
Well, hold it.
Something that happened to us last weekend, actually last Sunday, I was outside walking my dog and these two guys are driving by really slow and kind of looking at me, and I'm looking at them, and then they asking a question about, we put up a metal garage, and they're asking me a bunch of questions about the garage. And I don't hear very good, and so I'm like, dude, you gotta pull in, you know. And so they pull in, they get out, and it's a little bit of me that's a little bit like, what are they all about? You know, I don't know these guys. And so anyway, I'm just being open to the gospel. And for a while, you know, how we, along what you're speaking is even Kelly and I are like, you know what, we don't really even know our neighbors really well and stuff, so we've been praying about that and want to reach out. And so anyway, they're looking at my garage and we're talking, And I don't know what tongues they speak, but they speak multiple tongues, these guys. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay with that. You know, it's going off. But so a long story short is we spoke a little bit a while, and then he told me that his mom lives two houses down, and I haven't seen her and her boyfriend for a while. So I asked, you know, what's been going on? I mean, I haven't seen him. The boyfriend is a guy that's been addicted to fentanyl, and the mother, he said that, you know, I've been over to the house because she's just been sitting in her bedroom with the air conditioning cranked up full blast, drinking every day. And I said, really? And he says, yeah, she's in the hospital right now. I said, wow. And so, you know, we continued on, and then they had to go, and I went back into the house, and Kelly asked me, wow, who are these guys? And I said, these guys are from the Lord, and the Lord sent them here. And that's my encouragement to every one of us here. I said, a lot of times I try to make things happen. It's being open to the gospel, not open to the gospel, but being open to the Lord and believing that he will bring people in our lives. It's not just, amen, things just don't happen. And being aware of that, I sometimes miss it. I miss an opportunity, and I pray constantly, Lord, don't let me miss that opportunity. So I get inside, and Kelly and I were talking. I said, you know what? We need to go back down there. And she's like, yeah, let's go back down there. So we both get out, and we're talking to these guys. We had a blast talking with them for probably over an hour. And I get to know these guys really quick. They're really open to sharing a lot of things personally. I mean, the guy told me many family members have been, you know, died from alcohol and drugs and stuff. And the other guy is talking to Kelly, and it comes out that his dad is in a coma right now. He's very sick. And the young guy is, one of the guys is saying, we get talking about the Lord and stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, dude. He says, I've read the first book of the Bible. And he says, I skipped all the stuff in, you know, all the other stuff and gone right to the end. I said, dude, you got to read all of it. You know, you got to get the stuff in the middle. And he's just laughing. We're just laughing and doing that. And we both were talking, you know, we're really concerned for your family and whatnot. And Kelly throws it out there. Hey, why don't we pray for you guys right now? And they're like, yeah, sure. So we all hold hands right on this guy's lawn, and we start to pray. It was all the Lord. And I mean, even that one guy's, he's throwing things out as we're praying, and it was just great connecting with them. And we exchanged telephone numbers and stuff like that. And then, so, you know, we left, and that was our church for Sunday. And then like a day or so later, one of the guys was driving by and stopped and said to Kelly, he says, Kelly, my father woke up. He was in a coma, and he came out of the coma. And so we're not sure. I got to make contact with this guy, but it was like, wow, praise the Lord. And, you know, this guy's out of the coma. I still want to follow up about the guy's mom. She's still in the hospital. But I guess in all of that, my encouragement is this, being open to what the Lord would have. And not just, for years I've waited and waited and waited. And now I don't care. If I'm a fool for Christ, praise the Lord. I just want to be open to his will, not my will. So.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, dude. And those are stories, that's for all of us. And those are stories that, thanks for that testimony and that encouragement, because it just shows you what's possible if you're open, or you're just able and willing to be interrupted. You know, it's like so set in this one track. You know, so many times Jesus is like, he's headed to Jerusalem, and then he gets detoured this way and detoured that way. And somebody's like, can I touch you? And he's like, that's weird, but yeah. He's like, can you touch my eyes? He's like, let me just make some mud out of spit and then put on your eyes. He's like, oh, you're good to go. And it's like so many times he's interrupted. It's hard. I'm a planner. I'm like, I know what I'm going to do with my day, and that's sit alone by myself. But like, it's truer than you know. It's truer than you know. But that's right. Not anymore. But we're open to being interrupted. And so all of these things, let's wrap up with this. What's something, like, Paul gives a very clear instruction. I think this is all tied together, because in the middle of all these, like, dude, just keep the standard high. Dude, make yourself, like, keep, pursue the highest standard. Like, make yourself worthy, or be diligent to present yourself approved. right in the middle, he slaps this in there, chapter 2, verse 8. He says, remember Jesus Christ. I was like, oh, he's going to say, like, remember him who saved you and who died on the cross and who bore your death so that you could be free. No. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Because the focus on a resurrection, when we carry around this resurrected life in us on a day-to-day basis, it allows us to do things like Mike just talked about. We remember that we serve a God who is alive. He's not buried in a tomb. It's not, you know, five pillars we need to conform to. We don't need to pray in a certain direction because he's alive. He was dead, and God, who is life and gives life and breath to all things, said, God, my son, you are alive. Listen, we remember this, and we remember that the sacrifice of Christ was accepted by God. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, because the sacrifice and all things that could have ensnared, enslaved him, held him back, all sins and evil and wickedness that was in him is no more, because he looks at the resurrection and says, no, the cross is empty. The tomb is empty. God sent his son so that we don't have to pay that punishment for the wickedness that we do and are. And now we can live. It's not even just that, because the death of Christ would have been amazing to be a sacrifice for our sins, but he's alive. That means he's walking with us. That means he sees what we're going through, and he sees where we are going. And that means that he is with us in all things, and he gave his spirit to us, and his life is inside of us. So Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, who was risen. This is the craziest thing we could talk about with friends and family and coworkers. Like, think about how much of a lunatic you sound like when you're like, yo, Jesus. They're like, yeah, good teacher. You're like, he died and then came back to life. You're like, you know how many funerals I've been to and seen people dead and not come back to life? How many have you been to? How many times have we heard of sacrifices or terrorism and all these people who are dead? And are they alive again? No, they're not alive again. But remember Jesus who died for you and who is now alive. We're like, that's insane. Like, I'm saying that. And I'm like, that's the wildest thing. It's like, it's the craziest thing. I don't know. We take it for granted sometimes. We're like, oh yeah, Jesus, he died and now he's alive. And like that's just what we're taught and what we're brought up with. But is it in us? Is it in me? Do I carry that with me when I see my friends? Do I remember that he's alive and he can speak to them, and he can give them visions, and he can give them pictures, and he can put things together in such a way, because he is not handicapped. He's not dead. He's not removed from life. It's not just like this God who set up this universe and all of a sudden everything's just going to play out due to the natural laws of physics. That's why I studied physics. I got a major in physics. I love learning about the natural order and why things are. But there's something beyond that who put it all together and says, great, but I made it all and I made my son alive. And if you walk around with that, holding the standard of the gospel now becomes a worthy call, because there's a promise of eternal life given to us because Jesus is alive. Because he's alive and his spirit is us. His spirit is in us. We can be alive here and all eternity. So it doesn't matter the suffering that we go through. It doesn't matter what happens to us, because his life is in us and his life will carry us through into heaven and into all of eternity. Remember Jesus. And you're like, oh, he's alive, so I'm going to live forever. So if I died right now, Like, I'm going to be with him. Like, it's not a death sentence. I don't know. Like, ironically, it's not a death sentence. It's a transition sentence into eternal life. And so to live is Christ and to die is vain. It's not vain. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Also, when he was in prison, he wrote that. But death is not an enemy anymore. It is not something to be considered for our own lives as we move the kingdom forward. It is not, I pray that nobody is martyred for their faith, but martyrs of history past who stood strong on this receive a great reward. And so this is not like we're all going to die for saying we love Jesus. We're all eventually going to die, and our time on earth is unknown. Our life is but a vapor. And so this call to retain the standard and keep the kingdom moving forward on earth, remember Jesus Christ, who was risen. He was risen. Yes, real quick, and we're going to wrap up.
I don't know where everybody stands regarding their faith, but I do know that I personally believe we're living in the last days. And the Bible does tell us that we will be martyred for his namesake. And so it's not going to be a perfect life for us as Christians on this earth forever. We're blessed to live in this country that right now is free, but where we go from here, only God knows. So we need to be ready, because we're not promised a Rose Bowl here. There will be suffering.
So, you know, this is maybe a little bit heavy, but this life, there are other promises that God gives us. The kingdom is righteousness and peace and joy. And it's not just something that you struggle through. Like, I don't think Paul is just like afflicted and just like, oh, nobody loves me. No, he is so secure and so one with Christ that he has righteousness and peace and joy. It's not like you can be happy and nothing ever bad is going to happen, but like we can be joyful regardless of what happens. So let's wrap up a couple, four prayer points, I think. I don't even know. Some things I randomly mentioned in here, but some things to pray about. Maybe we'll just take a minute, and if we'll pass the mic if people have some things they want to pray, we can do that as well. But consider a discipleship relationship, both sides, discipling, disciplee, discipler, disciple. I guess that's already a noun. What about that? I don't know. Like, Lord, help me mold that. Help mold that for me. Bring somebody into my life. Bring somebody into my life. Bring me into somebody's life. Kindling the gifts that have been in you. There's a flame, regardless of how big, but we can kindle those gifts. Receive a spirit of power, love, and discipline, the Holy Spirit. Receive this spirit from God that does not bring fear, but power, love, and discipline. And lastly, help me with the resurrection. Help me remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Help make the resurrection real to me. It's easy for me to say, like, Jesus lived. I mean, even just the Immaculate Conception, like, is a miracle. Like, that's kind of crazy, too. But Jesus lived, and then he died. Like, we can say those things, but then rose. Like, help me with that resurrection. Make that real to me in every way that I operate. So we'll take a couple minutes here. I'll just open in prayer, and then if anybody feels led to pray out for one of these things, some of these things, something else that you have, we can do that too. But Father, thank you for this time together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us this instruction that we can read and hear and review. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus, who was miraculously born, who lived a perfect life, who suffered more than anybody should, unrightly. But he suffered bearing our sins, bearing a crown of thorns, being whipped, and ultimately hung on the cross to suffer and die, was buried but rose again, and who ascended into heaven and now sat down at the right hand of the Father. Lord, thank you for that work that is completed. Thank you for the completed work that we could be free. Thank you, Father, for sending your Spirit to be among us, to be in us, to guide us, to talk to us, to show us who you are, to show us what you would have for us, to instruct us, to mold things in our life that we couldn't possibly do ourselves. Lord, thank you for all the perfect gifts and good gifts that you give us. Lord, help us be diligent. Help us guard this treasure. Help us pursue righteousness. Help lead us down this path, Father, so that your church could be built, the body of Christ could be built, the bride of Christ could be built. A home for you, God, dwelling among your people on earth, could be built. Help us continue to move the kingdom forward, Lord. Lord, I pray that you instruct us and you show us the things that you would have for us and that you would answer prayers. You're a God who answers prayers and who hears the cries of his sons and his daughters. Thank you for the things you have in motion, Lord. Help us to walk them out. In Jesus' name.
Abba, thank you so much for the privilege of speaking for you. We ask that you would prepare our hearts for any divine appointments that you have for us this week. Help us to look for those. Give us the words that we need to say, or if we just need to sit and wrap our arms around someone and be present with them. We ask that you would guide us and help us to be an example of your love and cherishing everyone around us. Thank you so much, Lord. Help us to be your hands and your feet. Help us to be your mouthpiece to say what you would have us to say. And again, thank you for the privilege of being your body. In Jesus' name we pray.
Dear Jesus, I just want to thank you for the gift of discipleship and what it's meant in my life as well. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to not be afraid when you present an opportunity for that, and help us to not get hung up on our age if we're younger than that person or the same age, but also thank you for entrusting us with people in our life to discipleship too, and for, like what Aislinn said, you know, being your mouthpiece and entrusting us with that. So Lord, I just pray that you'll show us opportunities to be able to minister to people. And Lord, I also just want to touch on the Kindle, the gifts, Lord. I think that life just gets so busy, and sometimes we forget about the gifts you've given us. And I just pray that you'll kind of fan those flames and remind us what you gifted us with, and just help us to build that flame and be able to minister to people and use those gifts for you, Lord. And again, thank you for entrusting us with these gifts and giving us these abilities to do work for you. So Lord, I just pray for both those things this week and help those to just be present in our mind and help us to be intentional with those things.
As to receive the spirit of power, love, and discipline, I have been hearing more and more about spending time abiding, truly quiet and abiding, starting with a minute or two or whatever it takes, to really be able to hear from Holy Spirit, because busyness is the enemy of that. And we need to really, truly connect and listen and hear and be quiet. And in that, there is no fear, but there is power, love, and discipline, direction, and we will be doing exactly what we need for the kingdom, from discipleship to hearing about our gifts and to be able to really start to embrace what the resurrection means. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I pray over our church family that you would infuse us with your power as in Pentecost and give us the tongues of fire and a heart of fire to be able to witness for you and for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once again, Father, I just pray that you pour out your spirit on us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Amen. Amazing grace. He is with us. May he be with you. Bless you as you go into this week, and we'll see you next week. 1 second, though. Alex has an announcement. So here he is. Thanks, man.
Thank you, brother. Great preaching, and he plays a pretty mean shortstop, too. So it's my shortstop. Just received word during the service that the Stearns family, as you know, are packing to move, and they had some folks help pack yesterday. They still need some help. So if you can spare an hour, 2 hours, whatever you can do this afternoon, they're doing it right now. We had a couple guys already have left to go help them out. If you can spare some time, I've got the address. Come see me. And with that, I think we're going to dismiss everybody. So thank you. God bless you. Yep.
They want to head home today.
They were trying to. Yeah, and apparently they still need some help loading up. So. Yep, they could use some bodies. All right? I think that's it. Thank you all.